We're going to change our direction a little bit here today. We're going to start in teaching. I just entitled it, The Spirit-Led Life. We're going to be talking about being led by the Spirit, but one of the things, we're going to go into some areas here the Lord's been speaking to me about for some time about teaching in this area. I've had it in my heart, and the Lord's been dealing with me now probably for about a year about this, going over, but some things you got to wait till He says it's time to go. And so I got the go this week. I woke up the one morning very early in the morning. I woke up and some scriptures kept going over and over and over in me. And I realized it was time to deal with some things. And we want to talk about especially dealing with the spirit-led life. We're going to look at some scriptures here today as we go into this because we need to understand as Christians, we're sort of a very mental society. We work more off the intellect. You know, the intellect is not going to bring the power of God to pass. It can't do it. It can't do it. Faith operates from the heart or from the spirit of man. So man must be able to operate out of his heart. He has to. Or there's no way that you can operate in faith. And there's a lot of things that People have many times mentally ascend to things and they think it's faith, but there's no more than mental assent to certain things that are true. You see, you could believe that the Bible is true. The Bible is the Word of God. You could believe Jesus is Lord. You can believe God raised Him from the dead. You can believe all those things. That don't make you saved because you believe them. But yet most of the church world thinks it's true because it's almost been preached that way. Well, this guy believes in Jesus. Well, so what? That don't make him saved because he believes in Jesus. The devil believes, is he going to save? No. The Bible tells this, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. You've got to receive Christ. It isn't just believing. See, we have this thing of, well, if I believe something, then like people think, if I believe, you know, God heals, well then I believe God will heal me, it's going to come to pass. Well, did you ever receive it? I find people all the time have never received it, walking around talking about making statements, but never have received it. And they wonder why things ain't changing. Nothing ever changes. Well, see, things change. We need to understand this, is we need to come in contact with the real person. And this is what we're going to spend some time on talking about, learning the difference between in the areas of spirit, soul, and body. There is much in this area and stuff. There's a lot of intellectualism taught today. There's a lot of psychology in the church. There's a lot of that going on in the church. I mean, just good people, but they're teaching psychology and they don't see it. They're teaching more from a psychological standpoint. They're doing those kind of things. Why? Because that stuff's in our world today. That's the thing. They're always trying to fix everything through the natural and through psychology, you know. The use of psychology, really, as we deal with this area, psychology can be a very manipulative thing, and people use it all the time. See, there's one thing is I've learned this. You know, I was in sales years ago, and they'd have these meetings to have guys come in and talk to us. And what they'd teach you is how to use psychology to manipulate people to buy what you wanted them to buy. How you do that. And see, we do that today. Our politicians, many of them are very good at that. They've been trained in the areas of how to manipulate people, how to say the right thing. That's why they hire people to do their speeches, because if they got up and said what was on their mind, you'd never vote for them. But they get some guy to come and give them their speech, and he writes it, gives you what people want to hear. What people like to hear. Well, this is one thing, as I've known, like from a political standpoint, I mean, the last time that the Republicans had the House and the Senate and the presidency all at one time, it didn't do a thing with it. Why? They told us in their campaign speeches all the stuff we wanted to hear. And we voted for them. But when they got it, they didn't do nothing with it because that wasn't them. What their number one interest in was your vote. And when they got your vote, it's like, well, now all the work's done now. I'm in. You see, we need to understand. See, I'm not interested. See, God's not interested in all you walk around talking and saying if it ain't out of your heart. If it isn't really you. If this is not really you. The real you. And we need to deal with the real you. I am not looking today. I cannot see one of the real you out there. I can't see it. I can see your body, but I can't see the real you. You can't see the real me. The real me is not 72 years old. The real me. See, you're looking at the house that the real me lives in. And this house is wearing out. Just like in the earth. You know, your house ain't getting newer day by day, is it? No, your house has to have maintenance to try to keep it looking good so it don't fall down around your ears, and you have to do things and all that stuff. And that's what we do with the body. We do the same thing. You know? Now we do with the body, women do more than guys do. See, us guys don't have to do all that stuff to look good. We already look good. So we don't have to go through all that stuff. That's why women do it. Well, why else would you be doing it? Am I causing trouble?
No.
So, but see, we're doing. We need to understand that when you're dealing with you, you got to decide what you're going to deal with. Are you dealing mostly with your mind? Or your body, what in those areas we need to know, or you deal with the inner man. Do you really know who you really are? Do you really understand? See, this is an important thing. You can't operate in faith unless you do. You have to know. You can't know you're in faith by your mind. You have to know by your heart. This is one of the scriptures. I'm going to read two familiar scriptures to us from Romans 8. From Romans 8, chapters is really about spirituality, but there's a lot of stuff taught from that isn't taught from the standpoint of being spiritual, but it's about spirituality. But when I woke up the other morning, in fact, the Lord had these two scriptures reversed for me from Romans 8, because verse 14 becomes before 16, but he kept quoting to me in the opposite direction. He was quoting to me, and I realized what he wanted to do and this thing. But in verse 16 says this, and I'm going to read it first. It said, the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit that is, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. I want you to think about it. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness with your spirit. He doesn't bear witness with your mind. You can't know you're saved because your mind thinks it's all you're saved. That's right. And you don't know because your body, you're saved. Because, you know, you'll wonder sometimes whether you're saved or not for what your body wants to do. And even sometimes your mind. He bears witness. Now, this is one of the things we want to get at is this. The Holy Spirit bears witness. Much times, and they teach faith, and faith, you know, and teaching correctly, but we need to understand this. Faith is what we have, or what we hold on to or walk in, till the manifestation comes. See, it's like, if I'm believing God, and I believe in my heart, and confess with my mouth, and believe I receive my healing, and when, you know, so faith is where I stay. I can't say if I don't see my healing, it isn't manifest. What do? I keep believing I received it, even though I can't feel it. So I'm walking in a place where I can't see physically. Physically, I can't see. But my heart, see, I'm talking about my heart believes it received something, but outside you can't see it. When it shows up, I no longer need faith. Faith ends at that point concerning healing, because now I have it. So if somebody comes and says to me about my healing, I shouldn't say to them, well, I'm believing God for healing. That would sound stupid. But we do that with salvation. Well, I believe what the word says about I'm saved and that stuff. No, you're supposed to have the witness of your spirit now that you're saved. Once you believed, you have the manifestation in your spirit. Your spirit is born again. The Holy Spirit is in you bearing witness that you're saved. I know I'm saved because the Holy Spirit in me bears witness. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm not trying to believe to be saved. I don't have to go over to those scriptures again. I already believe them, and they manifested God in my life. See, this is why you need to stay in contact with your spirit. You wouldn't believe how many Christians get into the areas, and I'll tell you what, and then I don't know, maybe some of you have been hearing this stuff. You get over wondering if you're saved or not. That happens all the time. Christians, why? Because they don't live out of their spirit. They're trying to live out of their mind and their flesh, and you get over in that area, you lose contact with the real man on the inside. There's people that wonder about this. In fact, I had this just not long ago. And a person was talking about, oh, they wanted to do all these things in ministry and doing this. And they got over into some areas and they were talking to me about some stuff. And you could see, I knew this by listening to them, that they walk in the flesh a lot. And they walk out of emotions and things a lot. And then the person finally made this statement to me. They didn't know if they were saved. Well, see, as soon as they said that, now, number one, I knew they were a Christian. I knew they were born again. But see, I know by living in the flesh and walking in the flesh and in your emotions, you lose contact with the inner man. And now you're trying to judge your spirituality based on your flesh and your see, that person has an unrenewed mind. That person wants to run around teaching people. And I said, how are you going to go teach people when you can't even know you're saved? And you run around wanting to teach me? I said, dear God. I said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, you need to sit down and keep your blind mouth shut and listen to somebody teach you something. Dear God, what are you doing? But see, they get over there. Religion can drive you to do all kind of things. And you can get religious ideas in your mind and you're doing things. But really, what the person's trying to do is they're trying to please God through works. If I do all these good things, and then I'll feel good about myself and I'll think I'm saved. Stop and learn to listen to the inner man. And end it. You're not going to have a successful life of faith if you can't get contact with your inner man. That's where faith is. That's where the whole thing works from. So you want to be in contact and know who you are. You know, God didn't complicate. This isn't complicated. What we did is we grew up in a society that left spirituality and went on to education. There's nothing wrong with education. But education put before spirituality will ruin your life. It'll ruin it. See, years ago, like United States, all the major colleges, and I've said this before, Penn State was the first university in America that was started that wasn't started by the church. All the Ivy League colleges and stuff were started by the church. And see, in the foreground was spirituality. In the foreground of education. Well, we've left that today. I mean, the foreground must be. There must be a spirituality. Now, it just because today, even you have a Christian school, that don't make it spiritual. I don't know, I talk to people in Christian schools, and I'll tell you, some of the leadership, man, they need to get spiritual. They're running everything out of their minds and education and all that stuff. And what they do is they try to throw God in it places on this stuff, but it isn't really moving a spirituality because they're not spiritual. You can't give to somebody something that you ain't got. You can't minister. And what you want to do is you want to get over the things of spirituality. Because number one, if you learn to do that, it will increase the mentality of the people you teach. We would not have near the children today with mental disabilities in the school. Well, the reason we have it is because of lack of spirituality. We think if we can just teach them and teach them and teach them and teach them and give them information, and we'll try to get things in their mind to make them smart. No, spirituality will make you smart. Amen. Spirituality. See, you know, shall I tell you, it's just like I've known this kind of things have happened. There's people who from their physical bodies couldn't speak. They couldn't say any words. And they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they could speak out in tongues, but they still couldn't speak words out. See, because them speaking words out was out of their mentality. Well, that wasn't what operated. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. The words came out of their inner man and they could speak it out. See, their mind was blocking things. Their mind was blocking things. Something's wrong in the connection there, and it's blocking things. But when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, they could start talking in tongues. You see, we don't know anything about that kind of stuff today. Education is in la-la land. Even in the church world, it's in la-la land out here. They don't understand how spiritual things work. And see, we need to understand the power of the Spirit. The power is in the spiritual realm. It is not in the natural realm. You know, you might be able to do mental gymnastics, you know, and that kind of stuff, but I'll tell you what, you'll never cause the power of God to work doing that. And see, we're trying to solve all these problems. We're trying to solve the problems that God has already solved, and all He's trying to do is get us to believe us. We would believe He solved them and start acting in line with Him, and they'd come to pass. But instead, we're trying to intellectually make this thing work. Well, in the church, you know, who's the smartest folks, you know? I mean, there's ministries. I mean, even Rhema. I mean, you couldn't get on ministerial staff unless you graduate from a college. You have to have college degrees. That's going to make you spiritual, you know. Kenneth Hagin couldn't even get a job at Rhema today, you know. That's right. They can't. And we do. See, we have all this stuff. Education. Hey, I'm not against education. But education ain't worth spit without God. And it ain't worth spit just saying I believe in God and that stuff. We must teach spirituality. We must understand. People need to know who and what they are. You know, people need to pass from death unto life. And that's where we want to go to. The Holy Spirit bearing witness. God wants you to know without a shadow of a doubt whatever you go through. See, you'll never come boldly to the throne of grace if you don't know who you are. You'll sin and get away from God and you'll feel ashamed. Why? Because your intellect will keep you out of that thing because you can't get in contact with your spirit. Your spirit's saying, let's go to Dad and get this thing fixed. Let's go to Dad. No, but the flesh is like, well, I've messed up and I've done this. And what will people think if they hear about me doing something? That's where we get into our intellect. We're so about us. Instead of, praise God, I'm getting this straightened out with God. I'm getting the power of God. I'm going to get grace working in my life. No, we get over away because we lose contact. The intellectual side begins to rule and reign. And it cheats us. It cheats us out of the glory that's in us. See, in us, the inner man, the real you, knows what to do. Why? Holy Ghost is living in there. The Holy Ghost don't live in Ed's mind. I can tell you that for sure. My mind sometimes, whoo, my God. But the inner man, you're born again of the nature of God. That nature in you, born of God, has a conscience, knows about right and wrong. We'd never do as much wrong as we do wrong if we listen to the inside. But see, today we have a Christianity that steals men's conscience, saying, if you sin, you don't have to, everything's taken care of. Don't recognize it. Get yourself over where your conscience don't bother you anymore when you're doing evil. When you can shut off your inner man. And at the same time, they say, let's be led by the Spirit. Try it. Your own spirit won't tolerate things that your flesh and your mind want to do. And you'll have to cut it off if you want to try to live a life of any kind of peace. You're going to have to cut your spirit off because as long as you don't live right, it ain't going to agree with you. God don't condemn you about anything of sin. Your own heart will do that, the Bible says. Your own heart condemns you. Your own spirit, born again spirit, says you're doing wrong things. You're wrong. You're out of line. Get straightened out. And people say, well, God's been dealing with me. No, it ain't. It's your own spirit. If you didn't want that to happen, just don't get born again. You can live like hell and feel good about it. But once you got born again, you got a conscience now, and that's the voice of your own spirit. Amen. That's the voice of your own spirit speaking to you. Well, you want to be able to listen to that because that will keep you on course. Amen. You're a child of God. See, we identify too much of the world as being like they are. We don't identify ourselves as being like God. We just don't want to be like the people. We just so want to be, and we don't want, the people in this world looking to go to something higher, and all the church offers is, well, I'm just like you. Well, then what do I need you for? I'm already like me. I don't need nothing else. I'm already a goofball, just like you. What do I need? They need to go to something higher, and we must offer something higher. That's what we have to do. We offer them something higher. We're not dealing with arrogance with them. People need a changed life. That's the way it is. We're looking around the world. The only thing that saved this world is changed life. That's going to be it. The whole point of the move of God is just so people get healed. It's about people getting in the kingdom, about changed lives. If people don't change, nothing changes. They got to change. And the only way they can change that is through Jesus Christ. So don't get mad at the sinner. We want to reach them to change. Getting frustrated at them doing what they do, my words, it shows a lack of ignorance. I don't expect them to live godly. I didn't live godly till I got godly. I had to get something godly to start living in a godly manner, and the only thing that will change that. But the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we're children of God. You want that strong in you that you're a child of God. Because you're going to go on life and what you need that security within you that you're a child of God. You go along, you're facing stuff and things going on. You need that in you that you know, that you know, that you know that you're a child of God. You know, people say, well, I'm just saved. Well, what do you mean by saved? Saved what? You know? You saved down here at the bank or what? I don't know. What's saved? People say, yeah, you need to be saved. No, I didn't need to be changed. What happened to me is I needed to be changed. The salvation of God changed me. And I needed to be changed. I needed to become a child of God. Why? Because that's a child of the devil. See, we don't want to talk about those things today out here in the church world. We don't want to tell people they're children of the devil. That's exactly what they are. They're children. I was a child of the devil. I had his nature. I lived like him. And now I have to know and be able to know all the time that I am not like the world anymore. I am not. I'm a child of God. So we go to Romans to the 8:14 and it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. See, led by the Spirit are sons. See, this is God's whole intent, that you be led by the Spirit, by your own spirit. God can lead you through your spirit. That's what He will do. That's what you come to that conscience. This is how God's going to lead you. He's not going to lead you in some other way. He's not going to lead you. This is how He does. You know, we need to understand this. Signs, wonders, and miracles are done for the world. God can't lead the world by their spirit. So when He wants to get them in the kingdom, He got to ring that bell that brings healing and deliverance and stuff so they can see there's a God. You and I already know, ought to know that. We ought to be living in the fact. We ought to be, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with you that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. You ever listen in your spirit? You know that in the inside. I know in me. I know inside of me. I'm just as sure of Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. God don't have to do a miracle through Benny Hinn for Ed to believe that. But see, the world's sitting out there and all they got is sin. Because they can't trust their inner man. They can't trust that. Though God moves in that manner so He can get them to hear the word to be saved. That's what it's for. See, we ought to be living it. You are living inside. You ought to know inside of you. And so we want to talk about the Spirit. He is bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. He's bearing witness in you that He bears witness with you and He leads you. God leads you by your inner man, the real you, your spirit. And Proverbs says this, another familiar scripture, Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching out all the inner depths of the heart. Now that's the New King James. King James says the inward parts of the belly, the belly. Actually, that Greek word used there, in fact, there's many of translations translated concerning the heart because that's what it's talking about. When it's talking about the belly, it's not talking about your stomach. It's not talking about this raised spot on me. That's not what it's talking about. That word belly there is the word dealing with the abdomen. Even it is used in translation of a woman's womb. It's used in that manner. On the inside. See, your spirit is in you. Your spirit inside of you lives in this house. Your spirit. And you need to come in contact the real you, the part of you. If today we all drop dead right here, right now. Just like that, we'd end up taking off and you'd be in heaven. And when you'd get to heaven, you would find you'd be walking around in a form. You wouldn't be up there a ghost and people could see through. There's none of that stuff. None of that goes on. You'd go to heaven, you'd have form. God ain't some kind of weird out there that goes around. You know, Kenneth Hagin, when he was caught up to heaven and others, Jesse Duplantis, God was sitting on the throne. There was a figure up there. It had arms and everything else. You see, your spirit man, which is the real you, your outer man, is a type, an image of the inner man. It's a type of. Because when you get over into the spirit realm, a man's spirit or a woman's spirit looks like the human form it does on this side, that the house that you live in. Now you can know this for a fact. When you get to heaven, you might not at all look like from the standpoint, the age of what you are now. You know, most people that talk about in heaven that I've read after other people caught up there, lots of times people look from the ages of somewhere about in their late 20s to into their 30s. That's the way most people look. And they said, like Kenneth Hagin said, talked about him being very attractive looking. In other words, see, in the spirit, there ain't nobody ugly and old and anything. You go up there, you go to heaven, you see Granny, she ain't gonna be Granny. You know, get over that stuff. Get these things out of your mind. The inner man's renewed day by day. My spirit hasn't aged 1 second from the day I got born again. Not 1 second. It's renewed every day. Well, is it or is it not? The Bible lie? It's renewed every day. Every day it's renewed. It's never aging, getting older, getting in it. It's never doing that. You see, we think in all these things, and the reason we think in them is because we're carnally minded. We read the Bible and say we believe it's true, but we got to start acting like it's true and talking the things the Bible says and quit talking the stuff that goes on in this world and the stuff that's happening in this world. See, you can't, here's another thing. You need to stay in contact with your spirit or you'll have trouble with the fear of death. That's why a lot of Christians can't get, spirit-filled Christians can't get healed because they're afraid to die. Dear Lord, I think it'd be good. I'm like Paul. I think the part of being a Christ would be a whole lot better. I've touched into that realm and I've lived in this one and I want to touch that one a whole lot more. People say, you know, what about the people here? They need me here. Well, let God decide that one. Because most people think they need to be here. I'd pray that they go. Because they are of no good here. Many Christians and many adults ain't even good for their families. Oh, we don't want to hear that one. We get over so carnally minded. We need to get over in the areas being spiritual. Being spiritual, understand we're spirit beings. I'm glad I learned this very early. You know, when I did the first teaching series I got from Kenneth Hagin was how to be led by the Spirit of God. And it dealt over with this subject about being spiritual. I learned how to talk concerning myself and what I say about myself. See, whatever you talk and you say, and you talk in natural all the time about things and that stuff, that's going to be your reality. See, God told Joshua to meditate day and night. His meditations isn't just him over there having scripture in front of him. It's what he's walking around saying all day. You're meditating all the time. You're all constantly meditating. You're constantly thinking about things on what, and we spend very little time in meditation about God, about the realities of the Word being true. We talk the realities of the world and all that kind of stuff. You know, we can go on all our, you know, on our phones and all of our stuff and talk about the reality of all the stuff that people send you and reading that all the time, filling yourself with that all the time, talking about those things all the time. And that's our reality. That becomes your reality. God told Joshua that he'd make his way prosperous. And I said, God's not going to prosper you. I don't care how much money you get. God's not going to prosper you. You will prosper you. You receive from God whether whatever it is by faith. Just because you throw money in a pot don't mean you get money back. You got to believe you receive. You got to act in faith. You got to believe something's happening. See, it is the same way about everything in life. You need to get a reality in how you view yourself and talking about yourself as being a spiritual person rather than a carnal person. Most of us are, things we talk about is more from our carnal side than it is from our spiritual side. So it becomes predominant. People, I found out if I get over in the carnal side, then you start getting away from the spiritual side of things. Things don't work as well. You got to get back over viewing yourself in the light of what Scripture says. In Proverbs says that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly, or searching his heart. The Lord, what's the spirit of the Lord doing? What is he doing in man? The spirit of man, he's the lamp. God enlightens us through our spirit. We need to understand. We teach from the natural on this side here. We teach from the outside in. God doesn't work that way. God teaches through the Spirit and then brings revelation to the mind. Does it? See, this is why many people don't ever get revelation of the Scripture, because they're always mentally. They deal with the Bible just like they deal with a textbook. You know, they're in a school somewhere or something. They're dealing with it the same way. They're not dealing, letting God bring revelation. See, it's one thing is I find lots of times in the morning, you know, and when I say in the morning, you know, it could be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but where I will awaken and there's things going on in my spirit. See, there's what happened. We get during the day and it's just natural that we would do this. We get busy doing jobs and that stuff and we're mostly spending our time thinking, well, there's nothing wrong. You want to do your job right. But what happens, the noise of the world and the noise of your thinking and that stuff can really cut off what's going on in your spirit. It can. Everybody deals with that. And we need to be careful. See, in the morning, I find this when everything's quiet. Lots of times when I have slept a little bit and things are very quiet and I'm quieted down. My mind isn't going 400 miles an hour thinking about what I was thinking about tomorrow when I went to bed. See, I told this to God and He has been taking me up over ever since. I said, I'm giving you permission to wake me up anytime you would like to in the night if you want to talk to me. I don't say, I need 8 hours of sleep. And if I don't, I just can't make it. I'm glad I didn't ever did that. I said, Lord, you have the right. I'm giving you the right to wake me up. And He's been taking me up on that ever since. But you know what? I'm glad. I've gotten wonderful revelations. I wake up and I find out down in my spirit, the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal something to my spirit. And I think, wow, man, that's really good. I hear something on the inside. And you know what? I go back to sleep a while. You know what? And I feel a whole lot better. I feel very relaxed. Me and God just had a conversation. Something on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Something that'll bring me rest. Something that'll bring me sleep. And so it's learning to do that. We got to have time. See, we're too noisy in our society. Our society say, I watched this years ago when people started all this. I'm so busy. And I realized this, that you couldn't talk to people about it because everybody was running around, I'm so busy. And I thought, this is going to cost us terribly. It's going to cost our nation terribly because people will not be walking with God. They will be so busy. They're busy doing stuff, busy doing things that are important. And we leave this world and are going to find this out. Man, what I did, a good 85% of it weren't worth nothing. Now, we're supposed to work jobs. We're supposed to. But if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. God, I wish the church would get that revelation. That'd be a good one. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. There we go to meddling, I'll tell you. But it's revelation. See, we need to get. But see, the church don't have that revelation. The church doesn't have it. They read scripture and they interpret it all naturally. They interpret it all out of the mind of this, I'm being a really good person because I'm taking care of people. And they don't realize they're serving the devil lots of times. And the person they could really help don't get much help because they're so busy dealing with 10 people that shouldn't be dealing with and doing everything in the world we can for them. And they never learned that they reap what they sow. We do everything to try to stop the world from reaping what they sow. God can't hardly judge America because America keeps, and the church in America keeps trying to fix everything. We don't want the wicked to get judged. That's the last thing we want to happen to them. We don't want them to come to the knowledge of, man, I got to change my life. I need something else. We're not, no, you don't. We'll take care of you while you live like hell. We'll do everything we can to take care of you so you keep living like hell. We'll do whatever it takes. See, we talk about revelation. When man loses contact with the inner man, there's things that God says to me sometimes. I never say to people because they just get downright mad about it. Things that God's saying. See, as I found out, God, you're going to have to say that to them. you're going to have to say that. But you pick up the inside. See, it's number one, we want to be at the area, in the area so God can teach us. And to teach us lots of times is to correct us because we have ways of thinking and it requires us to change those ways. He's not against us. He's just trying to show us, you know, don't pray and ask for good things if you don't want to be corrected because we have to learn how to cooperate with Him. And I found out that my mind is not arrived at the point. I'm like Paul. I see it through a glass darkly. And I mean, hey, one day it's going to be face to face, but I can't wait till that day gets here. But right now, we look through a glass darkly. You know what that dark glass is? It's your flesh. And your unrenewed mind is the dark glass. That's our smarts in America is a real dark glass. We're so smart. We know so much. We're wonderful. We just got it. And we don't realize that those things hinder us. God enlightens through the Spirit. That's where he's going. God doesn't guide us through our senses. He never guides you through your senses. So now he speaks to you. He doesn't guide in that manner. He doesn't guide us through our mind and our thinking. Now, we can renew our mind. The Bible was, we go on and teach. We'll talk about that renewing of the mind. He doesn't do it through any of our senses. And we need to understand, there's a difference between senses, where we talk touch, taste, smell, and then there's emotions. Emotions aren't your senses. Emotion is driven by however your mind operates. Your emotions, if you can't control emotions at times, it's because you have an unrenewed mind in areas. And you will become, certain things will get you ticked and you'll go off and, you know. But we have extremes on both sides. There's this side over here. They tell you, if you're a good Christian, you'd never get angry. Well, the Bible says be angry but sin not. Jesus got angry. He got so angry and he didn't sin. Jesus walked in love and hit people with a whip and ran them out of the temple. Well, now how could you do that? You know why? He was judging them. He wasn't in there, oh, I understand you poor guys. Just don't get it. I'll take care of everything for you. Jesus won't fit in the church today. He's having a hard time fitting. That's why we have changed the Jesus and we preach a different Jesus than the Bible preaches. So he fits our society. We have to have a Jesus that fits our society. It doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. The Jesus that saved me talked to me and dealt with me about my nature of sin and what my evil was going to do in my life. He showed me that I was definitely under the curse and that curse was going to kill me and it's going to destroy my family with it. He showed me I was going to reap what I was sowing. Amen. Oh my. He didn't say, look, I love you so much, you're not going to have to worry about none of that. Nope. If I didn't respond to him as he wanted me to, he showed me my destiny and my family's destiny. We were going to all be in hell for eternity. You see, eventually, I don't know when we're going to be doing it, but God's been dealing with me. We're going to teach about family and about authority, why things are so messed up and don't work. Because this is another area we don't touch. We teach in the church world basically American culture. And we just throw little scriptures out there and throw them in and add them into it and make, well, it justifies it. No, it's what the Bible said. See, I learned when I was a young man, when I got saved, that there was authority. I had the authority to deliver my family. It was in my hand. You don't hear teaching about that. You don't hear teaching about those things. It was in my hand. See, that's why parents, and I mean both sides, need to understand concerning authority and walk in right concerning authority. Because you can do all this other praying and all this nonsense. A lot of it ain't going to work out to nothing. And it is but a bunch of nonsense. It's getting over to walk and taking, especially dealing in areas. God dealt with me when I first started off. My responsibility. My responsibility. I had a responsibility. I had a responsibility as a man. I had a responsibility as the head of the family. I had a responsibility. And that responsibility, I had to take it whether anybody else liked it or not. Amen. And you have to learn. People have to learn in these areas. You know, God comes along and wants to talk to the head. That's where he wants to talk to. He wants to talk to the head. Just like God reveals himself to us through our spirit, he don't do it through our mind. It's the same way in authority. God don't put a person in charge and then turn around somewhere at the bottom and he's talking to them all the time, telling that person authority what to do. It don't work like that. This is one thing. See, we've gotten away from these and we haven't raised up in the church world the authority and the power that's in the family. We say the family is important today in a church world. If it was important, we'd get to some spirituality if it was important. She's saying it's important. We can see the fall of the family. The family fell because of the church. It didn't fall because of the world. See, one thing is I learned to walk in the authority that I have in this life with authority given to me by God. I do not have any care or concern what the world says or the rest of the Christians think is right or wrong. I have no interest.
Amen.
I know what the Word says and I know where I'm supposed to stand concerning authority, and that's where I'm going to stand concerning my family. I don't care if it hair lips the whole bunch of them. I don't care how upset they get about it. I don't care how mad they get about Amen. It, whether they like or come visit Grandpa at all. I don't care.
Amen.
I am not this sensitive that if I can't see them, I'll just let them do anything they want just so I can be happy.
Amen.
I'm a leader. The most important thing is my family don't go to hell.
Amen.
Number one. In this life, them kissing up on me, they gonna like me good when they get to heaven. Found out what Grandpa did.
I am
so glad. I am so glad that my dad, he didn't just jump on our bandwagon just cause he wanted. I'm so glad he didn't. I'm so glad he wasn't like my mama. My mama, I love her dear lady, but I tell you what, she resisted authority, and I tell you, if she'd have had it, we'd have done a lot worse. She wanted to be like a lot. And it hurt. You see, we need, you know, I didn't plan on going to these, but I think these things, we don't want to be led by the Spirit. We need to understand. We need to get over to see where we're not as a nation. We need to come back to the place of power and the glory of God, where God can demonstrate Himself. God don't give us authority so we pat ourselves on the back. He gave us authority to fulfill His will. It's about His, it's the giving Him the glory. So His glory can be revealed. I need His glory moving in my family.
Amen. That's right.
That's what I want. That's what I want. I learned from my, God showed me through my father's authority. Now he wasn't spirit-filled or nothing, but God showed me through His authority. Our family, I mean, with nine kids, 34 grandkids and a bunch of great grandkids. We never saw tragedies and stuff like other families did. We never saw it. Like spiritual families, many of them go through a lot worse than we did. But my dad's integrity to walk. And my dad walked in his authority. God was number one with dad. We weren't. I mean, hey, my dad did good. He was a great provider and all that stuff. But God was number one. He said, and I tell you what, God showed me about Him. God told me the only reason I was alive and I didn't die in Vietnam or nothing happened to me, He said, the only reason you're alive is because you're daddy.
Amen.
He said, He was righteous before me.
Hallelujah.
Mom was praying for us all the time, but dad was walking right.
Mm-hmm.
Dad walked, you can pray night and day and get nothing done. See, Dad walked in His authority. Before God, He held authority. Because He walked right. He loved God more than anything.
Amen.
He loved God more than anything. See, I wanna live like that. I wanna be like that. Because what it does for others.
Hallelujah.
You know what, to pat me on this back in this life? I got reward coming on the other side.
Woo!
I'm laying up treasures in heaven, not
Amen.
Here.
Amen, Lord.
Amen. See, we need to walk in. He said, led by the Spirit. See, even though my dad was not Spirit-filled and things like that, there's a lot of things that he didn't know. There's a lot of things he was very religious about. But he wasn't because he just wanted to be religious. He didn't know. But boy, he walked in the light. If he knew something and God was doing or saying, he walked in it. That was it.
Amen.
There was not another way to walk. There was not another way to do it. There was another question on the thing. That was it. The Lord said. That's all. And he walked and he lived there. And boy, I'll tell you what, he ran sideways over us kids on things. And you know, because you think, well, you know, he just don't understand his old fogey. He just don't get it. He just ought to be, he ought to be more like mama. I'm glad he wasn't. I'm glad he wasn't. Glad he wasn't more like mama. Now, it doesn't mean all women do that, you know. There's wonderful, strong women in the Lord. Wonderful, strong women. And we need that. But people need to know their place and where they walk. They need to understand that. Because, you know, especially, you know, you're going to have to learn to be a team in things. And lots of times, there ain't a team going on. It's not a, it's, you know, we like to shine because, you know, we teach kids out from the time that they're little, and we teach them, like, you gotta get all this different things. So when you go to college, you have this certain sport you're really good at because you can get, this way you can get into college and they'll give you some money to go there and they'll tell, they do all, we push all those kind of things. With God, we push nothing. We push nothing. Zero. And we want our kids growing up following God. Why? We taught them the reward is in the natural things. That's where it's at. And you get them as much as you can in the natural things. And see, I found out, you know, that it all runs out. It all runs out. Because you know what? It's just these Nick and Pooch days out without telling anyone could be president of the United States. No, you can't. You Nick and Pooch. What's the chance that anybody, that a person could become president of the United States? If you'd figure the odds of it, my words. Vegas gives you better odds than that. I'd go to Vegas and gamble before I would believe any stupid thing from some stupid educator saying some stupid stuff. Making kids dumb as a stick. Making them believe things. Well, anybody could become president. We'll get over that one. I couldn't become president. God didn't call me to be president. I found out what God wanted with my life. And it wasn't president. And I'll tell you what, I didn't want pastor or none of this stuff, but thank God he didn't call me to be the president. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But see, we have this life. You pick and you choose and you do all the same. God is a sideline in the church. Nobody finds out what God wants them to do. Now you go up, oh, you gotta go to college, you gotta go do this, you gotta do that. We have all the things that the world does, tells you that you need to do. Nobody stops and asks God, God, what do you want? What have you called me to? What do you want with me? You know, when a person finds that, I listened again and I've heard this story many times. Kenneth Hagin tells it about a young man who came along. He was very young. He was only in his early 20s. He had $50 to his name. But he would listen to Kenneth Hagin on teaching on how to be led by the Spirit and learn to be led by the Spirit. So he had $50 and he took that, he asked the Lord and the Lord showed him what to do in that $50 and he invested over time. And then God showed him how to doing things. This guy was worth, like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars back years ago. That's like billionaire today. Started off with $50, but God showed him he would seek God and he would spend time with God. Another story was a gentleman. He went in the areas of investing. He said he would never invest in anything unless he prayed and found out with God. He said he had things that people wanted him to invest in and he thought was just a great idea. But he said he always would do this. He would take time, go pray and fast till he found out what God wanted him to do. And he said, man, there's things that sounded great. God said no. And he said, there's some things that I thought that wasn't a good idea and God told him to get into. And he said, I made fortunes off of it. He made fortunes. You know, sometimes, God told him to buy stock in a company, this company. God told him to go ahead and buy this stock in this company. He bought stock in this company. And after a period of time, this company got down to this stock was almost worth nothing. And he thought, over the years, this thing was just going bad, but God told him just let his money alone. And he thought, oh my God, this is going terrible at this stock. And it went on and went on for about 10 years. And another company came and bought that company. And everything changed. His stock started going. After 20 years, his stock was worth $32 million. Now see, most people, the average Christian couldn't wait 20 minutes, much less 20 years. But his stock was worth $32 million. And he had invested $3,000 or $4,000 at the time he did. He said that was a lot of money, God telling him to put it. At that time, it was a lot of money to put that money, and he did that. And see, God shows people things, and this is why it came out of their spirit. They took time to seek God. See, the Holy Spirit knows the future. Amen. See, when people play the stock market today, they're praying for now. Tomorrow, what? God knows the future. Just like that. The Holy Spirit showed him something that would change his future. an investment. See, we're talking about, these come out of a person's spirit. This didn't come out of their head. They couldn't have thought it up because nobody, people tried to talk him out of buying that stock to begin with, and God's saying that. And people said, no, no, you don't want to invest that. No, 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 you don't want to do that. And they were always probably wishing, if he goes, do you think he'll give me a little? You think he'll have me in there? No, probably not. No, you won't be on that list. We're talking about out of the inside, living out of the inner man. Living out of the inner man. See, there's things we have to do. I have a book on a guy who, listening to his spirit, he's an Australian businessman. I guess today he's about a billionaire. He's worth billions. At the time he wrote the book, he was worth hundreds of millions, but now he's worth... But he was a businessman, and he wrote a book. He was spirit-filled, but he would seek God about what to do in investment. He said, one of the things he said I learned to do was follow my heart in business-wise. He said, I learned to follow my heart. And he said, I always did what I felt good in my heart was the thing to do in the business. And he said, there's some things, he said, I started business. He said, people told me you'll never make any money doing that. But he said, in my heart, I just wanted to do it. He said, it's like, I really wanted to do that. And he said, I have never done anything where I have not followed my heart. And he said, I've always made a lot of money doing it. He said, I never did it for money. I did it because it was in my heart to do it. And he said, money's always followed me. Money's always followed. See, we get in too much in reverse. There's nothing matter asking God for money. But you know what? You never need to follow what's right in your heart to do, and you'll find blessing will follow you. What's the secret? What's going to follow you all the days of your life? What's going to follow you all the days of your life? No, we don't. We chase it. We have been taught. Now, there's nothing wrong. We were taught correctly about faith, about asking and receiving things. But we went to extremes and pushed that side. And didn't push the side of listening to your inner man. It's like you put in your heart what you want. Now, let's get in my heart what God wants and what He's doing. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to be blessed. God is going to have a great interest in me being blessed because I follow Him. He's going to sure want me to get blessed because I follow Him. That's what He wants. That's what He wants to do. So you see, we need to get over there. What's God wanting us to do? What is He, you know, many people have a great desire in them, but they're choosing whether they follow that heart desire based on what they see around them. They look at their mind. Let's look at the condition. What are the conditions now, you know, with what's going on now in our country with the downturn and all that kind of stuff in the economy? What are we going to do? During the Depression, days of the Depression, up to that time, the most millionaires were made in America during the Depression. The majority of millionaires that were made. It wasn't till in the... around in the 70s and into the 80s when really a lot of people started becoming millionaires. But up till that time, the most millionaires were made during the Depression. And they weren't made by people who had money. They were made by people. Like a guy down in Lancaster. Forget what his name was. He owned most of the downtown Lancaster. He's dead and gone now for years. But he ended up owning most of all the downtown of Lancaster where all the money properties are down there today. He owned them all. And you know how he did it? He had enough money to put a down payment on a house. He scrounged it together. And during the Depression, it was really a mess because places weren't worth it. You didn't pay very much money for a house. But most people, you know, they couldn't even afford to buy a house. They would have to rent, and most people rented. The majority of people didn't, and during the Depression, didn't own homes. A lot of them lost their homes and stuff. They would rent them. Well, he went and turned around, and he bought a house. And he got paying on that thing a little bit, and he went to a bank because this house that he had, and the bank saw he was doing good, and he said, he wanted to buy another house near it. He said, this house, I want to buy that, I'm going to rent that house out. I want to buy and rent. So the bank took it for him. He went and did that and started renting it, started doing good. Next place. He went on and on until he owned the whole downtown area. He owned everything down there. By going along, he started off, he had a bunch of money. But see, while other people said, you can't do this anymore and you can't do that, find out what God says you can and can't.
Amen.
We're not doing that. The church is allowing Biden and his administration and the Republicans to determine our destiny. And we've done that. It ain't their fault. It's our fault. The whole time we had God in us to dictate some things, but we chose. We chose. We chose that we're going to let politicians run our nation, but they ain't going to run me. I can run what they want. I'm going to have to listen to my spirit because I'm accountable to God by my spirit. And if I threw my spirit out to go listen to other people become my dictation in life, I'm going to stand before the Lord before that. See, we need to listen on the inside. What's the right thing to do? There's a Rhema graduate. Yeah, I'll tell the story. There was a Rhema graduate from Sweden. And you know, they have these laws over there and that stuff they made. You can't spank your kids and do that because they can put you in prison. Well, there's a Rhema graduate who was from Sweden, and he lived in Sweden and came graduate, went back home, started a church and that stuff, and spanked his kids. And they came and said, "We're going to put you in jail for spanking your kids." He said, "That doesn't matter." He said, "You put me in jail." He said, "That wouldn't stop me from spanking." He said, "You let me out of jail, I'll spank them again if they need it." They didn't know what to do with this guy. And finally, they just ignored him and let him alone. But he refused. He refused not to listen to society. I'm going to obey God. Well, his kids turned out good. His kids turned out in the ministry and everything else and turned out, you know. Everybody today, no, well, you know, you can get in trouble if you spank your kids. I remember people telling us that. And I thought, man, I want to whoop you too, you worthless Christian. Okay, I ain't going to quit doing what's right because somebody said he'll put you in jail. I ain't going to listen to God because it might get me in trouble. And then pray, "Oh God, help me. I want to know what to do." No, you don't. No, you don't. What you know, why should he talk to you? What you know to do, you don't do. Oh, this is fun stuff. Hallelujah. Because it deals with all of it. These are the things in life we're dealing with. This is the stuff that's going on. This is what we're up against all the time. See, I want to go where I am dealing with conscience, where my conscience is strong, where my conscience is strong concerning things. I want a strong conscience. I want my inner man to be stronger than the outer man, that he has a louder voice than the outer man has.
Hallelujah.
I want it that if I don't do right, I can't sleep good at night.
Amen. Preach.
I want that. See, that's not the church role today. The church role, peace and safety, peace and safety. Sudden destruction will come. They'll say, peace and safety, peace and safety. Oh yeah. Everything going, we're going to make it all wonderful. That's why people are going to follow the Antichrist. I'll tell you what, Christians would follow the Antichrist just like that. Peace and safety, peace and safety. Oh yeah. Got to keep my flesh happy. Oh my. Hallelujah. See, we need to understand these things. God wants to turn his light to turn on in our spirits. He wants to guide us. He wants to lead us. And getting this, as we look into these things, we want to see the fact of us being spiritual beings. That we're spirit beings. This is what we are. You know, in the book of Genesis, we're going to turn familiar again, Genesis. God creation in Genesis. In the first chapter, when God made man. You've heard these scriptures over and over and over and over and over again. But what I want is, I want, just like me, I've been and got over and studying in these things again. I've studied them before. I get over and again. And I tell you, you know, if you sit down and you hear the word of God, you're one of these people that say, "Well, I've heard that before," and you sort of lose interest. You've never heard it. I'm going to tell you what. I've eaten ice cream before, and I don't say, "I ate ice cream once and I don't ever want no more." Yeah, I had that flavor already. I ate a steak one time. It was really good, but I just, you know, I got to have something new. See, the devil gets in and gets people acting like him. Keep you from truth. You know, there's one thing I find. Look, I have studied the subject of healing and faith. And you know what? I just enjoy it just as much anytime I sit down and I look at the subject. If God's word gets to the thing and I'd heard this before, you know you're backslidden. And I'm just telling you the truth. You're backslidden.
Amen.
You don't ever get to the point. I'm going to tell you what. God's word's better than a steak. God's word's better than ice cream. My godmama was a good cook, but she never cooked it as good as God does. I'll tell you what, eating the word of God is the most delightful thing. And it has to stay there. It's the most important thing. God never talks to me through a steak. He never talks to me through an ice cream. He don't ever talk to me in that stuff. Hallelujah. But God will talk to you through the Word and your spirit.
Amen.
Glory to God. So you want to always stay in that area where it is the delight. Now, Genesis says this in verse chapter and verse 26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image and in the image of God. He created him, male and female. He created them. Do you notice as soon as God made something like him, he put it in charge. In other words, he gave it authority. There is no such thing. There's no such thing as a creation of God, an individual created of God and has not been given authority. If people don't walk in it, that's up to them. The first thing he did when he created that, something, why? God is a God of authority. And you're going to be like he is, you're going to be a person of authority.
Amen.
Or you ain't like he is.
Amen.
Person of authority. In other words, but authority is this. We need to understand it's just like in the natural. We've all worked in that. Everybody's worked for people who were given a position, and they had authority, but they didn't use it. And it made it miserable for everybody else working with them. Did you ever notice that? People don't walk in the authority they have, and it makes it miserable. It is a misery when people don't walk in their authority. Leaders don't. Worst thing it ever happened. You know what? Authority will run you contradictory to the people who don't like people in authority. And they think you're just being mean and bully and stuff because you take your authority. They don't. In a church world, it's like that big time. You know, people don't take their authority. People don't know the words. This is what we're going to do. God's put this in my heart to do a leader. God said, this is where I'm going to go. This is the direction I'm going. Everybody, well, we want to go another direction. Well, adios. See, that's why Moses was so popular. Moses heard from heaven and he wasn't liked because everybody else had an idea. Well, so I don't know, but we all have authority, and that's why we need to be very careful. Being in authority puts you in a position you're going to have to make decisions where others may not care for that decision. They may not care for that, but you have to. See, I found in the business world when I worked, sometimes you had to make decisions and that stuff that people didn't necessarily like. You know, but you had to make your decision. Like when I worked at Riz's, I had to make decisions based on the company's need, not on everybody else's need. Today, this is why you have terrible workers in America, because the government's turned it upside down. And we say the people at the bottom, you got to do what you do to keep them happy. You can't run it like that. You can't run it. And I'm going to tell you what, both parties are into it up to their necks in this stuff. They're destroying the nation.
That's right.
Because even the ones that call them Christians, they're doing this worldly Christian stuff. Making decisions. Say, hold it. The guy that invests in the company, the guy that puts everything into it, he's supposed to lay it all down for the people. What kind of nonsense is this? And then those guys want us to vote them in places of authority. Well, I don't want them in authority. They're idiots. We've turned all this upside down. We've turned schools into kids run the schools. What the kids like, you got to do it the way kids like it. Well, the kids don't like it this way. They don't like that. They have their say. It wasn't in my school. Sit down, shut up, and listen. And you don't, you ain't going to be here no more. In the homes, the same way. Kids running the house to the kids' needs. No. But see what happens? We destroy the children because they don't never learn anything about authority. All they know is, I get to rule and have my way. And they get older, then they get to be adults, and everybody has to put up with that evil. I see people today and their kids are disobedient when they're little and they think, oh, ain't that cute? Yeah. Well, don't worry, they're going to be 15. Everybody else is going to hate their guts.
That's right.
And they ain't going to like you either because you raised them. See, we're not doing the things. We're not following and walking in the areas of authority. It isn't about being mean to people. You just got to do what's right. This is what's right. This is what we're going to do. You're never going to find everybody be happy. You know, there's things that, as I found working out there, you'd find that things that people were over me in authority and they'd want to do things and I'd think it was the right thing to do. But that was their thing. They had to call, not me. is when we did it and it didn't turn out right, and they tried to put it on somebody else, I'd say, oh, no, hold it. You're the guy that said this. You're the guy that wanted to do it. It's your baby. It's yours. But you know what? You want things to succeed, so you try to make things work. Now you can get over just fighting all about all of it and everything else, and nothing ever works. Or you can get around and get things back in hand again and work and get things back on their feet. But see, this is one of the areas of authority. God didn't give you authority if not having any sense. You can have good sense. He caused you to be born again. You have the Holy Spirit. You got God living inside of you.
Amen.
Think about that. God's living inside of you. God's inside of you. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Didn't say you're going to get it. It said we have it. It's inside of us. Now we allow the Holy Spirit to be able to reveal that mind to us. Mm-hmm. That takes time. We'll talk about that. That takes time. The more the wisdom of God can get revealed into your spirit, the more revelation you can get to renew your mind.
Amen.
And that's what you want to do, the renewing of the mind. See, this is why I can never conceive like you arrive at a place of spirituality where you're just, oh, you made it. No, because why? You're always learning new stuff. You're always getting new revelation. God's revealing himself more and more. And I just can't imagine a being as in his greatness that how in the natural realm here I would ever arrive at the place that I would comprehend it all. I mean, my God. Just think, I mean, Lucifer and his creation and what he was, and he didn't even get it, and he was living with God. So there's a good chance it's going to take us a while. Nobody's going to be taking God's seat when we get to heaven. There ain't going to be nobody in disobedience there. He's God. I think most Christians, after they see the lake of fire, they'll get the idea that, okay, I better shut up now. And be good. Be good. Let's obey God. What do you think? Hallelujah. But we need to go. But God created man in his image and his likeness. Well, the Bible tells us God is a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:4. God is a spirit. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Singing songs is not worship to God if you're just singing songs. Is your heart in it? Or are you just mouthing words? See, we could do that. I could sit here and just mouth words. I can just mouth words and go over there. We can do that. He said in spirit and in truth. From your spirit. In other words, God recognizes our inner man, and our inner man is supposed to be the voice to him. That's what it is. What do I have on the inside? You see, you can have, you know, in the inside, you can have things toward God, but you might not come. I mean, you know, people don't. Lots of times, and I find this, is one of the reasons I get up, like say Sunday morning, before I teach, I get up 5:30 Sunday morning. I get up 5:30. I don't get out of bed and run in here and preach. Why? Because I got to listen to my spirit. Preaching ain't so. I could sit here and have notes and just read down through the notes to you. Well, if you look at my notes, I didn't use much of them yet. Because there's things in my spirit that want to come out. And I take the time to find out. If you come into church, you just run around and get in here and rush in and you know, sit down. And you might not pick up very much. See, we talk, they used to do this all the time, and I used to laugh at it because they'd go, well, did you come to receive? And I'd think, no, most of them didn't. And most of them are just going to come in there seeing what's happening. And they're doing. They have not prepared themselves to receive. It requires something to receive. Requires, you know, I just didn't Jesus, you know, somebody said, Jesus loves you. And oh, what am I going to receive? That didn't happen. See, receiving something is being able to have yourself in a position. See, we don't do that anymore. We don't do those things. See, when I was a kid, people went to church. And see, when I look at today, they were more spiritual than the spirit-filled people are today. And they weren't spirit-filled. They were plain people. But they had toward God, a love toward God that is not had today. It's not in the church world today. They had a love for God. I mean, God was hugely important in their lives. I mean, they'd just go down and sit and wait on God. They wanted to hear something from God. I mean, they would just, this is just the way it was. You know, we have such a busy society. Everything's so high. Well, we've made it busy. Don't blame anybody else or anything. We're the ones that did this thing. You know, I'll never forget, you know, Wanda and I, we went through the things as sinners, and we decided we wanted to have kids, but I talked to Wanda, and I said to her, I told her, if we're going to have kids, one of us ain't going to work. She had a good job, and I had a good job, but one of us is going to be home with the kids. I said, that's just going to be the way it is. As a sinner. God blessed us as sinners. Wanda ended up, she left her job because I told Wanda had a very good job. And I told her, I said, you want to work? Then I'm staying home. But I said, these kids are going to have a parent. They're going to be raised by parents. What they're going to do? Well, see, one of the things that people said, well, you can't do that. You can't do that today. I went to Rhema to school and almost fell over listening to the leaders at Rhema, not Brother Hagin, but listening to the leaders standing around telling me, well, you both of you have to work today to be able to make it. I'll say, man, we didn't know that. We stupid sinners didn't know that, and God blessed us. The reason we have to, because they said it. They believed it in their heart, and they said it, and they can't make it. And they can sit and want to believe God for money all they want. You just said you can't get enough. The average spirit-filled Christian believes that both parties have to work. Well, we set that. God didn't. Our mouths set that. Our mouths put that in motion in our society. Was America poor in those days? I think America was richer then than they are now. We got a lot of money and it ain't worth nothing. You get a dollar bill and, you know, toilet paper's worth more. At least toilet paper wipes better. I don't know. The junk they got today. But see, people say you can't. You're going to have what you say, what you believe you can do or can't do. You see, people need to understand these things. You know, we have to decide. We make decisions about what's important. Being led by your spirit. I thought, here I am as a sinner, so I got saved and I have to listen to all these Christians telling me in Bible schools and telling, oh, you just can't do it out here that way. You can't. We just got done doing it. And they said, you can't. And I thought, these are the great faith people telling me this. Well, sure they can't do it. They said they can't. It happened because they said they can't. They said you have to. So how could it turn out any different way? Could have turned out any different? No. I found out when Wanda and I, we were working, when I was working, she was, there's a lot of things we were able to do that people, both parties were working, couldn't do. The devil would just eat their money up. We're sinners. We're sinners doing better. But you know what? See, we're acting on right things. See, we have, you need to know, what do I want? What's important in my life? See, there's a lot of things that ain't important in people's lives anymore. They're not important anymore. They're not important. And you got to decide. See, if you grew up, you didn't do it, but I'll tell you, wake up to where you're at. Watch what your mouth's saying. Watch what you're doing. You're closing the door. You better get listening to your heart. We take God as big. No, He isn't. Not to most people. He's not big. Their mouths are big. They say all this stuff, but their heart ain't saying that. They say, God's big, but He can't do this, and I can't make it this way, and you can't do that. You can't. This one, it won't work this way. It can't work that way. Can't do this. Can't do that. But God's big. Yeah, well, it's great. He's big. When are we going to get big? When are we going to put on the big boy pants? Man, we're still in these trainer things, and they're full of stuff that needs cleaned out of them. And faking like we're big faith people. That one song we sing here, you know, the guy's repenting to God, you know, the person's repenting to God because they believed in a lie. I'll tell you what, I ought to sing that often. People need to get that in their spirits. There's a lot we haven't believed God for. And we have talked about Him being big, but we got to reach out. And the reason is we've lost contact with our spirits. That's why. We lose contact with the inner man. And so what? Our decisions are made by what we see going on around us and what's happening around us. You know, I think about with our children, I thought about the fact of just the idea that I wanted, I knew what it meant to me when my mom being home and stuff as a kid. There was a security I always had. No matter what happened, you went home, mom was there. Mom was there and that stuff, and you know. And, you know, you grow up around kids, they don't have that stuff. I could tell with the kids I grew up with and played with, and even in school, I could tell the difference. I could tell they didn't have the security, they didn't have the families. They liked to come to our house to dinner. They liked to come to those things. My friends, they always enjoyed it. They never invited me to their house for dinner. Why? Because they didn't get them there. You see, it was a big thing. There was a nest. And see, I always liked it. And I said, you know what, my kids, I want my kids to have that stability. I want them to have. And Wanda did a great job. She did a great job with them. She wanted to kill them a lot, but she had did a great job. No, she didn't. But you know what, I'll tell you what, when I look around things going on, we were really blessed. We didn't have near the problems that other people did. That's one of the things I'd say Wanda did, and you know what? It wasn't, hey, she's home, she's working. I mean, she worked at home. There was a lot to do. I mean, putting up with me was a lot to do. So anyhow, we need to get over these things and understand, because see, when man loses his contact with his inner man. See, when I got born again, I realized, man, God was working in me back yonder with my kids. God was working. It's a sinner. God was working. And I was just always thankful from that standpoint of doing those things in life. See, we always took an interest in our kids. We loved our kids. We took an interest in them. We wanted them to do well in school. But you know what? We trained and taught our kids. We didn't expect some. The churches we went to, we never expected the church to train our kids. We were glad what the churches did, but that was our responsibility. Because I'm going to tell you what, my kids are going to follow me. See, when your kids follow somebody else, you'll know you didn't walk in your authority. When they start following other people, you'll know it. My kids even know today that I can hear from God. They know it today. Serious problem comes, they call Dad. Ask Dad. Ask Dad to pray. You know, call school teachers. They don't. They don't call this for, they call, people get in trouble, they look for somebody spiritual. It's funny to me, people don't go and run to the person they think's a really great person all the time and is their best friend. They always run to somebody that's spiritual. Why? Because they know that their friends ain't worth the room they take up. But they like, because that friend tells them it's okay, they just keep living like hell. They just keep doing their thing. That's my friend. See, I'm going to tell you what. The biggest thing in this world that always helped me is to know people who knew God. That's what I always look for. I never look for the people. They're just nice Christians. Oh, great for nice Christians. But I'll tell you, I want to know who knows God, because if I want to learn things, it's from somebody who knows God, not somebody who don't. Iron sharpens iron. If you want to get sharp, follow after people. I always follow people. People that know stuff that I don't know. When I find out they know something I don't know and I can see that, I want to know, what do they know? How did they, what did they do? How did they run into that? Where did they come to that? I want to know. I want to know. See, I want to be able to walk in it. But I'll tell you, learn to be led by your spirit. I guarantee it, you will have a successful life. Amen. That's where the peace of God that passes all understanding that guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that's where it's at. It's on the inside. Mm-hmm. It ain't in the flesh. It ain't in the world around you. Is there peace in this world around you? People keep praying for peace. I done read the book. It ain't going to get more peaceful. There's going to be more wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be more junk, more stuff going on out here. But I must live at peace in this mess. I have to. Why? I'm no good if I don't. Amen. I am no good to this place on this earth if I can't. I'm no good here. I'm only good. And the place, you all have a place. It's the real you. The real you wants to trust God. The real you wants to walk with Him. The real you. See, run in contact to the real you. Get in. Start talking about it. I was going to go in today, but we'll go into Romans 8. We're going to do some reading in there next week that'll help you out what Paul said about spirituality. Things you need to start to say about yourself and start to speak. Now in the bulletin, I had a bunch of scriptures in there. And they deal in the areas of spirit, soul, and body. The reason I put so many scriptures in there is because you need to take these things and meditate on them. I don't care if you heard them, then you say, I know them. If you ain't going to take and meditate on these things, you're never going to come to the place where you're going to really be in touch with your spirit. Get to where they become a reality to you of who and what you are, how God communicates with you, how God works with you. I was glad I learned that when I was a young Christian. When the Lord told me, I got born again January and February, He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. 20 years later, He spoke to me about the same time and said to me, 80% of my people have amounted to nothing. It wasn't that they were bad, they weren't saved, they are, but they're not following their spirit. They know nothing about it. Today, I think it's worse than that. People are not listening. But do you know why they don't? They're not being taught. The leaders ain't teaching it. Leaders in general. Now, there are people teaching, but people in general, you go to church, it's not being, that's just doing good stuff. Let's feed the poor. Let's do this. We're just nice guys. I tell you, we're just really good. And you know what? God's on the back burner. We need a move of God. We need something to shake this nation. Feeding the poor ain't going to do it. So we need to come arrive at this place. But we're going to look at Romans 8 because Romans 8 deals with us as Christians as who we are and what we are on the inside, the real you. See, don't get in any condemnation today. Don't get in any condemnation of what's said. It's because the only reason we feel condemned is because we lose track of who we really are. The greatness God has made us, the glory that's in us. People bypass the glory for something else and don't realize, dear God, I'm created in the likeness and image of God. See, your outer body is nothing but a shell that really, this glorious nature of this one that is made like God lives in. See, your outside body isn't like God. It's sort of dead in sin. In fact, we'll read it. It's dead in sin. It's dead in sin. So it ain't like God. Your inner man's like God. See, God joined, and I could go into teaching and teach you why the natural realm and why the spirit realm. Why did God create a natural realm? Why did He do it? Sin took place in the realm of the spirit. Why did God create a natural realm? Well, I know. I don't know if I'll be able to really spend any time teaching that kind of stuff. I don't know if I will or not. I don't know if I get time to teach any of that stuff if God wants me to. But we need to, because I'm all interested. Why does God do what He does? See, in the time I was a young Christian, I thought, why'd God ever create the physical realm for? Why did He do it? Why did He do that? Well, I found out why He did it. I never heard anybody teach on it. I never heard anybody talk about it. But I just kept questioning enough till He showed me. I kept wanting to know. See, I'm a questioner. I want to know. God doesn't want you ignorant about Him. He wants you to know Him. That's what we're basing our fellowship. You can't fellowship any deeper with God than you know Him. You know Him very well. You can't fellowship with Him. It's just in the natural. Isn't it saying the better you know a person, the more you can fellowship? If you have very little knowledge about a person area, some people, you can fellowship around, if you went and like a football game, they like football, you could fellowship around them, but you couldn't fellowship around with something else, They're all stuck on that one. And you get people out there and people say, well, these are my friends. Well, they're not really friends. That ain't friendship. That's not people like that you go do only a certain thing and that's basically any other thing they have no interest in. That ain't friendship. That's just doing something somebody else is doing. See, I find it hard to body a Christ because people aren't as much as interested in the spirit realm. Much of Christianity is not interested in the spirit realm. They're not in. They're interested in all this other stuff. They got these other little things they're tied to and they like it. They like these little things. And I just think Jesus is wonderful. He's phenomenal. And my father set the plan so I could be saved. My daddy is so incredible. He's my dad. Can you imagine God is my dad? God is your dad. That ought to make us just sort of blow smoke out of our ears or something. That's like, oh my, God is my dad. God? See, we use the term, see, God does, that term God and Jesus don't mean much anymore because it don't turn people on anymore. What would you, get in your mind that God is really your dad. God is my dad? God, my spirit wants to say that. Romans 8 tells us. That's why we call Abba Father. That's daddy, daddy. That's what that would be. It is. Be daddy, daddy. God's my daddy. Oh my God! Phenomenal! God's my dad. You think he loves me? Well, of course he loves me. My God, you know? When your kids are knuckleheads, you don't quit loving them. You love them anyhow. My God. Well, how much more your daddy? See, that's why let's get past this stuff of like, we're trying to reach God, find God, do all this kind of stuff. To get to the reality of God. Right? God is done chasing after us. I mean, we're not trying to get him to do stuff he don't want to do. My God, he sold on this business. He went as far as making us his children. So who's your dad? Well, it's God.
Amen.
Well, then you get to Christian and says, well, that's talking spiritually. Say, get over it. It's a reality.
Amen.
If it ain't a reality, you ain't no Christian.
Amen.
If it's just some fear, you know, some kind of spiritual nonsense talk, just trying to make us feel good. God ain't trying to make you feel good. He's made you good. He's made you glorious. He's made in you in His image and then took His creation and says, go ahead, kids, run it. Woo! My God! And we're sitting down here. I wonder what the Republicans or Democrats are going to do. Or what about the devil? Well, you got to watch me. That's what you got to do. See, I've been given authority. And Jesus bought that authority back to me. He no longer has authority. He can rule over me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Woo! Father, I just want to say thank you this morning for your greatness toward us. Oh, Father, I thank you that you're opening our eyes to be able to see, oh, it's much better than we ever thought it was. Your greatness toward us and this new birth. Lord God, this is a phenomenal thing. This is an incredible thing. Lord God, there's nothing from the natural could make sense to the fact of believing in our hearts on the Lord Jesus. And believe that Jesus is Lord and that you raised him from the dead. And we confess that we would be saved. It doesn't even seem to make sense. To become a child of God just doing that, it doesn't. But Lord God, the working of your word reveals it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Father God, we're not trying to intellectually understand it. We're just receiving it as true.
Hallelujah.
And what you're saying about us, it's absolutely true. That we're your children.
Amen.
And you sure do love your kids. Oh, you always want us to have your best. And I just want to thank you, Father. Father, we want to walk in your best and live in your best. And I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about doing your will. Fulfilling your plans and purposes. Hallelujah. That the richness of your glory can be revealed, that all can see how good you really are. Oh, that's what we want. Father, I thank you as this morning we're going to take communion elements. Oh, to remind us of who and what we are. Remind us of the glory. Remind us of what our Master did for us. Hallelujah. Lord God, Jesus, you did the work and we get the benefit.
Yes.
You did the work and we got the inheritance. It's phenomenal. And you did all that with joy. You were glad to save us. And Father, your great love is to look down in a world full of sin that required your wrath to be poured out. But you sent a Savior instead of wrath.
Amen.
You sent a Savior. Oh, Father, I just want to thank you. Lord, I thank today that the lights are lit up on the inside, that this morning that you've spoken to hearts and encouraged ones of who and what they are, of how the greatness of your glory is in them. Hallelujah. Lord God, that there's a greatness of glory that can be walked in. Father God, that will change humanity in this earth. And I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Lord God, your word says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And we want that grace to abound in its fullness of its glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, so many have been swept off this earth into eternal darkness. But Lord God, we want people swept into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Into the kingdom of the great light of the Son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. As we take these elements today, we take them as children of God. Hallelujah. Father, you called us. We're the partakers of it. We're the ones that are supposed to be partaking of this. Hallelujah. It reminds us today, Lord God, Lord, if we've missed it, if we've done something, it's a reminder of who we are again, to bring us back to the areas of fellowship and walking in it. Hallelujah. Lord God, communion wasn't get to chase people off. It was to bring them in. It was to bring the believer into fellowship. It was to bring the believer to the place. Hallelujah. Lord God, where the light of God would shine on them again. And Lord God, that they would know without a doubt that they're children of God. That they would know without, that they have the witness of the Spirit. They belong to you. Hallelujah. Lord God, that everyone today as they would leave this place would be 100% confident that they're children of God. 100% knowing without a shadow of a doubt, Lord God, that no matter what seems in the natural, Lord God, hallelujah, that they have the witness of the Holy Spirit in them. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, that life and light, hallelujah, manifest themselves in abundance in them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That revelation flows to them like a river. Hallelujah. That their spiritual eyes are open. The eyes of the inner man can see and understand and comprehend, Lord God, the glory that's in them. Hallelujah. We thank you for all that you're going to do through us, to us, in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.